Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Sherry with Paranormal Horizons, and my sidekick Jason is having, again, technical difficulties. So we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get together and be able to work on the show together. He's really greatly missed. It's just not the same without him. And I hope you folks are doing well this evening. Hope life is treating you well. Tonight we have a very, very special guest, and she's just amazing. Her work with animals, Karen Anderson, is an animal communicator, and she works as a medium and a psychic also. And her book is, her latest book is called The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. It's just been, it's been awarded as a best-selling book. And she's also an author of Hear All Creatures. Karen has also collaborated with leading psychologist Dr. Patricia Carrington for her book, The Secret Inner Life of Pets, and has co-authored The Amazing Paranormal Encounters, Volume 2. So we're happy to have her back. It's amazing to hear her stories and just love to have her in on our show. So just with that, if you would like to try and call in, I will try and get you in, and we're going to just bring Karen on and get her to the floor. Hello, Karen.
Hey, Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. I'm recovering.
You know, I'm beginning to take this personally. Every time I'm on your show, Jason can't call in.
No, it's terrible. I mean, I was outside, and all of a sudden I got a text message, and he says, I can't get on. And it's just not him. It's just at times he's not able to connect. So it's just a bummer. I don't know what he's going to do. He said Verizon. I told him, is there a possibility you can just call in as you would? And I just bring him on, and he said, no, Verizon, he can't connect with me on Verizon, and his roommate can't do the same thing. So I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm stumped, to be honest with you.
Wow. Well, Jason, if you're listening, I'm beginning to question if you exist, and I'm just kidding, of course, but would sure be nice to be on the show with him. I think I was actually on one time with both of you, but there were some problems in that episode, too, because I think he kept cutting out or something. So he's been having problems
right.
for a while.
And, though. You know, if Jason, hey, if you're listening, come on in, try and call in. I'll put you on and see what we can do, okay? So go
yeah,
ahead and
you,
Jason,
you need to
just call in the general guest number and see if I can bring you on.
I really want to make sure that he's really a real person and he really exists.
I'm sure he does. we were on last week and everything was flowing perfectly, but I think this happened about 3 weeks ago and we had the same problem. So. But it's great to learn how to use the dashboard and pretty much run the show. I still have a lot to learn, but I'm feeling a little bit more easy about running the show by myself. And we must carry on, right?
We must. We must carry on because technical difficulties happen.
I know. So quickly, Karen, for those who have not heard you before or listened to you on air, briefly, go ahead and describe yourself and let people know what you do, and we'll just go from there.
Well, first and foremost, I am an animal communicator and a psychic and a medium, and that's a mouthful. So as an animal communicator, I am able to understand messages, telepathic messages that are shared between the animals and I. And it's very much like a thought transference. It's like transferring thoughts back and forth. And it's based on telepathy. So that's kind of how most people know me as an animal communicator. That's how I started out. My love for animals just kind of got me in this direction. and I wanted to be closer to my own pets. And so I thought, boy, wouldn't it be great if I could understand what was going on in those furry little heads of theirs. So that's why I kind of went down that path. And then as a result of that, sharpening my intuitive skills, I became very in tune psychically, which is understanding things about people or places or things or events that you shouldn't otherwise know about through psychic senses, and also a medium where I am able to communicate with departed human loved ones. So I'm a little bit of everything tonight.
Wonderful. Wow. Do you feel that everybody can do this if they take the time?
You know, I used to think that everybody could, I do believe we're all born with the ability to sharpen those skills, but I think that some people are either by their own belief systems or personal blocks that they have. I don't think everyone is able to tap into it. So I kind of changed my mind on that a little bit. I used to think, oh, yeah, everyone can do this. But I really think it depends on a couple of things, Sherry. I think you have to really want to learn how to sharpen your psychic skills, and you have to be open to the process, because just like any other skill, whether it be tennis or learning how to play the piano or even learning how to play golf, you have to really be motivated and devoted, and you have to practice. At least I did, and some people are naturally gifted, and so they just come by it naturally. And I wouldn't say I was naturally gifted per se, but I really sharpened those skills. I worked hard at it, and I was very motivated to learn. So I think you have to have all of those attributes to be able to tap into your psychic senses.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And can I add to that? I feel that also myself, I have learned it, the key thing is also discipline and patience.
Oh, those are good ones. Oh, yes. I would agree totally. It is, you know, it's anything that you really are passionate about. You have to, there's a learning curve. You have to kind of learn as you go and open up your abilities even more and more. I push myself, so I'm like my biggest motivator. I push myself to obtain more information, to get more detailed and accurate information as I possibly can for my clients. So I'm constantly pushing myself in this work to try to do better and to try to obtain that one message that person needs to either bring them some sort of relief from their grief or their worry or their stress or trauma, just to bring them into a place of healing. I really strive to get that one message, because there's usually just one message that's just like, oh my gosh, now I have peace of mind, or now I know that my pet or my loved one is safe and around me, and they love me and they keep up with me throughout my life. I try to get that one message that person needs, and sometimes it's not easy, as you know. Sometimes they don't cooperate with us when we ask questions. So it can be a challenge sometimes, but that's what I strive for.
That's wonderful. Yay. So I hear that you made it to one of the best-selling number one book on your afterlife of animals. And congratulations, Karen.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much. It's a bestseller on Amazon. Now, that's updated hourly. Amazon has this hourly thing. So sometimes I waffle in the top five with The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. Sometimes I don't check it all the time. I check it a lot, but I don't check it all the time. But yes, it is a bestseller on Amazon. And I just received another award. The book is getting awards left and right. I'm just so excited. It's just been listed as a winner for the International Book Awards for 2018 in the Pets and Animals category, which is a huge thrill for me, not only to get a first place winning medal, but to be in competition with so many other talented authors, especially those on the international level. So that was huge. And I also received the silver medal for the Nautilus Book Awards, which is here in the U.S. And the book is just really, it's doing really well, and I'm so proud of it. And I'm so thrilled for everybody who has read it and ordered it and got it for a friend. And I hear from people all over the world that it's really helping them with their grief and their loss, and that just makes me so happy.
Oh, that is wonderful. Wow. Wow. So can you say, what is the most biggest thing with animals that they want to communicate with us?
Well, are you talking about those that are here and alive with us, or those who have crossed over?
That are here and alive.
Okay. The ones that are here and alive, I'm happy to report to you that the majority of animals that I check in with are very happy and very content, and they don't complain too much, at least the animals that I have communicated with. Every once in a while I run into somebody who is going through some trauma or some upset, but interestingly enough, Sherry, many times I can trace that trauma or upset back to their human. So it's kind of a package deal. Whatever stress or trauma that you're experiencing in your life, you bring that energy home to your pets. So it's a really good reminder to try to not take on those stressors and to lead a balanced life and to realize that your pets are like sponges and they're going to absorb whatever upset or turmoil or stress that you bring home. They may not understand what you're stressed out about, but they can feel your energy and it can adversely affect them. So I think the main thing that they want to communicate is, of course, how happy they are for the most part, generally speaking. But the other thing, too, that they want to communicate with us is their love for us. Even those that we don't feel like we're super, super connected to, I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that. I've had a lot of pets in my life, and there are some that we just feel closer to or some that we think we love more or they love us more. You know, and it's not, okay, maybe it is playing favorites, but it's not really playing favorites. But you know what I mean? Even those pets that we have that we don't feel 100% soul connection to, they usually report back to me how happy they are, how content they are, what a good life they have. And that's really, for me, that's really refreshing to hear that. And it's a reflection it's a reflection of their humans and their people. So that's the main thing that they want to share.
Oh, that's amazing. I love animals. And, you know, I don't know about you, Karen, but my bucket list is that I will, I'm still kind of in the back of my mind looking for a small mom and pop rescue and create events so that they can have some money, that they can have some operating costs. You know, my heart pours for people that are rescuing animals with their own, you know, their own money and just by donations. And I just would love to do that. I did Paws in the Grove for a couple of years, and, you know, I just want to do that again. So I'm, you know, my heart is with the animals, and I'm hoping to do that one of these days, to just start the create the event and let somebody else take over. So all the money
that would be great. That would be great.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, well, I was saying that I've been a part of. Oh, my gosh, we keep talking over each other. Okay, well, I've been a part of rescue for a really long time, and there's just not enough people out there who are willing to foster or take in a rescue, and I wish more people would. So that's something that's very near and dear to my heart, so I think that would be a wonderful thing to do.
I think so too. I think absolutely. There's a lot of people, and I'm a funny person. I like seeing people adopt. You know, when I see people buy, spend thousands and thousands of animals, and this is just my personal thought. I find that you know, there's so many animals that need to be rescued.
Yes, there are, and not enough people to do it. So to all of you who are listening who have a rescue, yay, I have a house full of rescues, and the strays just show up here. I think there's a neon light flashing over my house that says, hey, we've got a great place for you to hang out here. So they just show up. I get strays showing up here all the time.
Wow, that's wonderful. And you take them in just as if they're your own.
Oh, yes. Everybody here is, I never rehome anyone. They always have a permanent home with me.
If you don't mind me asking, can we ask how many like cats and horses or dogs that you have?
Well, I have two horses. I have three little dogs. They're Chihuahua, Italian Greyhounds. And then I have several cats, and I'm not going to admit to how many, but I do have a couple out in the barn that keep things in control out in the barn, and then the rest are kitties here in the house with me, indoor-outdoor kitties. And I wouldn't have as many, however, about 5 years ago I was going down my driveway, which is about 3/10 of a mile long, and I was going to pick up the mail, and on my way down I heard coming from this wood pile, I heard this tiny little kitten crying, meow, 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 and I thought, oh, please let it be a bird, please let it be a bird, and well, it wasn't a bird, it was three little kittens who were starving and completely dehydrated, and their mama had not made it back, and so I took those three in, and so I start the process all over again. So the kittens are now five, and of course I love them, and it's so fun to have kittens. If you haven't had a kitten in the house in a while, I call them kittens, but they're five now, but to me they're still my kittens.
They're like your babies. Wow.
They are my babies.
So, Karen, what can somebody expect from a session from you when they're regarding your pets? What can they expect or what happens when they have a session with you?
Well, what I like to do, Sherry, is I like to open up the energy before the person even calls for their appointment. And it gives me the opportunity to kind of check with their pet and see what's important to them and just get a feel for it. You know, it's kind of like sticking your toes in the water just to test the temperature. So that's what I do. I just open up the energy. I get a feel for the pet. I get a feel for their energy or anything that's upsetting them. Sometimes pets can be more forthcoming without their human on the phone with me. And the opposite can be true. Sometimes they're more forthcoming when their person is on the phone with me. So I never know. So I like to give them an opportunity to share without their human on the phone with me. And so I'll just kind of take some notes and I'll write down some things that are coming through, just psychic impressions. They're like pre-impressions, I guess is the best way for me to describe that. And it can be anything from something that's going on presently in the home or something that's happening with their human right now, or it can be about the pet and what the pet's feeling, or if they're having a medical issue. Sometimes they'll talk about their medical issues. And I just kind of take notes about everything that I'm picking up on, and then when their human calls in for their session, we open up again with a prayer and a blessing, and we just start sharing the messages and asking whatever questions the client has for their pet and working on their goals. And it's very interactive. My sessions are very, very interactive, where the clients can jump right in at any time and ask questions. And the more interactive they are, the more interactive the animals are. And so if the client
sits
back...
So you're not one of these that will say, I don't want you telling me anything.
No.
You're just
no.
saying yes or no, kind of. That's you
no.
know how it is
well,
sometimes when you say, yeah, go ahead.
Right. Right. And I don't ask for a lot of information up front. All I ask for is their photo, because that's how I connect. I use the animal's photo. And then, of course, I want their name, their age, and if they're living or deceased, male or female, and then what the goals are. And the rest I get from the animals. I think it's so interesting to hear what the pets have to say. What the first thing is that they want to talk about can sometimes just, like, blow everybody out of the water. So I like to give the animals the opportunity to share their messages first without me asking any direct questions. And that can be really fun and funny, and the animals can be, they have a sense of, some of them have a sense of humor, so you just never know what you're going to get. It's, to me, that's the best part of it, because you just never know. You can't assume anything, never assume.
I'm laughing, Karen, because I just did a reading last week about these cats, and one had a behavior problem. You just, like you said, you never know what they're going to come across and what they're going to tell you.
Oh, no, absolutely. And I learned a long time ago that you have to be very neutral when you open up, especially cats, because if there is an animal that is going to make a fool out of me, it's going to be a cat. So I always give them plenty of opportunity to share whatever is on their mind without making any assumptions whatsoever, because they do. They like to make a fool out of me.
Oh, my goodness. and it's surprising that each animal, they're like humans. They have different personalities and different quirks and things like that. Even probably like even something simple as, you know, maybe a bird or something like that. They're all little furry babies that have a soul.
They really are. They're as individual as we are. And, there's no two that are alike. So it's just one of those things where I never know what I'm going to get when I open up the energy. It's much like opening a door or opening a window and allowing their energy to come in and surround me. And so I never know what to expect. And sometimes I'm surprised at how talkative they are or how much information they'll share. And then other times they can be very conservative, and it's hard to get information out of some of them. And it's all just little, like you said, little quirky little personality things, and you just never know what you're going to get.
Wow. So, Karen, can I ask you, for our listeners, what do you see when you connect with a pet? I mean, is it their voice? Is it their personalities? Is it their face? Or how did they come to you?
Well, I think it's a little bit of everything. It's kind of like that box of chocolates kind of a thing. I use all different types of psychic senses to tune in. I can see images. They'll flash something at me. It may be something that's going on around their house. I've had animals show me that they're getting new flooring put in, or that somebody's remodeling a bathroom, or that there's something hanging from the ceiling in the room that they're in, or the color of the blanket that they're sitting on. You just never know what they're going to show you. And it comes in so fast. It's like lightning speed, that it's sometimes it's easy to miss. So you have to really be paying attention when you open up the energy, because their animals are really good at sending messages. And humans are not as good as they are. We're a little bit slower, at least I am. And so I have to really pay attention. So it may be a flash or an image of something. It may also be a feeling, like the feeling of love. I'll feel like just this warmth of love wash over me. And then other times it'll be a fearful feeling, or a feeling in the pit of your stomach that something isn't right. I can also get an anxious feeling, or just an overall feeling of being upset. So that's another way that I get information from them. And I also get, I can hear them. So I hear words, I hear sounds, sometimes partial sentences, sometimes complete sentences. It just really depends on each individual pet, how much information and how what I'll hear from them. And then other times it's a combination of all of those. So while I'm on the phone with their person, I'm also having a conversation in my mind with the pet, and I'm staying open to whatever they're sharing with me. It's multitasking to the nth degree, as I'm sure you can totally relate to.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, when somebody's losing a pet, how? What would you say? Is there a time range, or should they wait, or anything? What's a certain amount of time should they wait to get a session, or, you know, if when they're grieving, should they do it right away, or, you know, what do you suggest, or is it individual, like each person and each pet?
Well, I'm a very, very firm believer that you need to be calm emotionally before you schedule a session. And grief affects each of us so differently that for some people that might be in a couple weeks, for other people it might be a couple months. Everyone's different. But it's important that when you have any kind of a session, any kind of psychic session, medium session, animal session, whatever it is, that you bring good, positive energy to that session. If you're emotionally distraught, if you're in the depths of despair, that can actually block the messages or cause the messages to become static. And it makes it really hard. It's like swimming through mud. I have a hard time working through any kind of strong emotions. And you can even be sending too much love. Like if there's too much of any one emotion, it can really block the messages or cause that static where it's harder to get the messages through. So I recommend to any client who has lost a pet, just wait until you're emotionally calm. When you can be on the phone, you know, tears are allowed. Tears are always allowed, but you know, if you can't get through the day without breaking into sobs, and if you're really having a hard time, that's not going to bring about the best session. So just give it some time, and when things calm down, then schedule a session. But I would not do it right away. And I've had people actually contact me that have wanted me, like, their pet just died an hour ago or 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago or something, And I will always tell them that they need to give it time to get the best session. And if you can imagine, as that pet is transitioning out of its body, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You know, they're learning how to be a spiritual being. They're still dealing with their human loved one's grief. There's just so much stuff going on. You want to wait until everything kind of settles before scheduling a session.
So what did you find, Karen? What do the pets do after they cross over? Do they do many things like humans? They may play. What do they do? They watch their humans all the time or some of the time? What do they do when you notice when you read about when they're over on the other side?
Well, one of the most common things, and I'm going to speak in general terms because, as you know, every single pet is different and no two are alike. But generally speaking, once they leave their physical bodies behind, there is just such an exhilarating feeling. It's almost like they just can't contain themselves, that they feel so good. They just want to run, jump, play, they just want to enjoy themselves. It's like a burst of energy that they get, and it launches them into the new realm that they're going to be in. So leaving the physical body for our pets is usually a very positive and exhilarating experience. there are exceptions to that, and that is when their human is having a really rough time with it. They have a tendency, the pets have a tendency to linger around their body after they transition, and they can become quite concerned about us, their human loved ones that they've left behind. So they will linger and hang out for the next 24, 48 hours or so, just because they don't want us to be upset. They don't want to be the source of our pain. And so they'll just kind of hang around to make sure that we're okay. But the initial release is, it's almost like the best feeling they've ever had. So for us, as their pet parents, we're left grieving, of course, and dealing with the loss. For them, they have this exhilarating experience where they get to literally burst onto this new realm of being. So it's quite different experiences when you look at them side to side like that.
Wow, that's amazing. Can a person do an email or a text session if they were to call you, Karen? You know, would they be able to say, hey, I would like to see if you can do an email or a text session. Do you do that?
I do offer email sessions, and sometimes if the client is in a completely different time zone, different countries, opposite side of the world, that sort of thing, I do email sessions. I always recommend that if they can schedule a phone session, that's the best way to go. I feel that during a phone session, when you bring your positive, loving energy to the session, I think it just really boosts everything. It's like it amplifies the pets, it amplifies the energy, it amplifies it for me, and it just makes things so much better. And if that's not possible, then yes, I do offer email sessions, and they can be very informative as well, but I would always recommend, if you can, to schedule a phone session. They're just so much more interactive, because a lot of times, Sherry, I'll get messages from the pets during an email session, and I won't know what it means. I know what they're showing me, but I don't know how it applies to their person. And so I need their human on the phone with me to say, oh, well, that's, I know why he's showing you that. It's because of this, or that just happened to me. And if I don't have them on the phone, I won't know what that message is. So I just kind of have to let it sit there and until I hear back from them. So I think you miss a little bit in the back and forth, if that makes sense, because just having them right there on the phone makes it a whole lot easier than when you're going back and forth in emails.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. To me, it's more personable. And like you said, they relate better when the human is right there than trying to text them or email them. It's not impossible, but it's just a little bit harder. And like you said, it just amplifies.
It does. It amplifies it. And, it's kind of like if you've ever gone to a concert, you know, let's say, somebody that you love their music and you're really looking forward to it. You know, there's a whole build up to going to see them. And as you're waiting in the audience, you know, the excitement is building and everyone's getting all amped up. That same kind of thing happens during a phone session, and not so much during an email session because of the time difference, or just because maybe somebody's at work and they're not tuning in as much when I'm checking in with their pets. So all of that is energy. You know, when we go to see a concert, that's all energy, all of that momentum that's building up. That's all that positive energy building up, and that's what happens during a phone session. And it literally will boost things. It boosts my senses. I'm actually more in tune, and I get more of a charge when I connect when I have that person with me on the phone. Not to say, you know, you can't get a good email session. That's not what I'm saying at all, but I would say go for a phone session if you can.
Yeah. And sometimes even if it's possible, you know, in person is also, too, as a good option.
And I only offer phone sessions. I don't do in-person sessions. But if you, for instance, you do in-person sessions, yes, those can be extremely positive and amplified and just bringing all that good energy together. And I think what's really important is no matter what type of session you're having or if it's in-person or phone or whatever, bring good energy, bring positive energy, and you'll get a better session that way.
So have you found a lot of people, and I'm just saying some people, a lot of people, and I don't want to say in particular a percentage, but do you find a lot of people question, you know, they want a phone session, they're curious, but they're not sure if you're the real deal or, you know, are you worried about, you know, being tested or, you know, are they going to be open to getting the messages that they think they should hear, not what they want to hear? Has there been a problem with that or issues at times when you run across people, they're human, wanting to have a session?
You know, I think everybody has some level of skepticism, and I think it's healthy. I think you should have some level of skepticism. If you've never had a session with me or any other psychic or medium or animal communicator, you have to do your homework first. You know, make sure that you feel really drawn and connected to that person. You know, get on their social media, get on their website. You can really get a feel for them and their style and make sure that it feels like a good fit. I've had people that have questioned me and my work and what I do. Really, in the beginning, it was constantly being questioned. Now, not so much because I've been doing this for a long time now, and I have quite a, a following. I have a lot of reviews posted about me. There's a lot of information out on the internet about what I do and my work. I have 2 books now. You know, so I don't think I get that nearly as much as I used to when I first started. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a healthy skepticism. I think you should just be open to the process and realize, you know, we're all just humans, just like you, your listeners here, and we're just doing our calling. We're doing what we feel called to do, and we try really hard to do our best. We want to give you the best session that we can possibly give you, but we're not perfect. Nobody's 100%. Nobody can give you 100% accuracy. And you just have to realize that there's going to be some things that don't make sense during the session. And I know I make mistakes all the time. I try really, really hard not to, but sometimes I get it wrong. And it's usually a cat. Cats are always out to get me.
We're all human. That's what he said. I mean, yeah, that's exactly. You hit it right on the nose. You're not 100%. You know, you have things that people don't understand or maybe off, but that's okay. You know, that's all. It's all good. But you're getting majority, and, you know, if you hit 70-80%, like I said, and you strive to be better each and every reading, that's amazing.
Well, it is, and, you know, what people don't understand, I think one of the big misconceptions is that, like, you and I, Sherry, walk around and we're constantly tuned in. Like, if we walk up to someone for the first time, they think that we can tell them who's around them, who's departed, what messages they have, their childhood pet, their childhood pet's nickname. We don't do that. That's not how we work.
I know. People come in, well, not anymore, but I've had, like you said, when I first started this too, you get a lot of people, well, prove to me if you're real, prove to me what my father's name is or something like that. And it's like, this is crazy.
It is. And it's, you know, there's sometimes things will pop out. You know, if the first time I meet someone, sometimes there's something or I'll get a feeling about them. But generally speaking, we psychics and mediums have to go into a slight meditative state of mind. And that can be on various different levels. But we have to clear our own minds. We have to clear our own body so that we are open and receptive to receive incoming information. And I can't do that at the drop of a hat. I have to actually go into work mode. I have to get myself prepared. I go through the same steps each and every time. And it's not instant. We don't walk around, you know, knowing what everyone is thinking and feeling. We would go crazy if we did that, and we would have no energy left for our own personal and private lives. So I conserve my energy for my sessions because those are the clients that want to work with me, so I'm going to conserve it when I'm out in my personal life. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a function, let's say a wedding or, you know, some kind of event like that, and someone will ask me what I do, and I'll tell them, oh, well, I'm a pet psychic and I'm a medium. Oh, well, you need to talk to my dog, or you need to talk to my my deceased father or something. And it's like they don't understand that we don't just at the drop of a hat do this. It's not that way. There's a lot of raising the vibration. We have to open up a space. We have to do our prayer and our blessing. We have to make sure that we're protected and only welcoming white light energies to us. So there's a whole process that takes place that a lot of people don't realize what we go through before each and every session.
What is the common problems that you get from cats? And I'm going to ask you about that afterwards about dogs.
What was the question?
What are common behavior problems that you get?
Common behavior problems. I think the most common is with cats not getting along, that there's, you know, some kind of an upset in the household, and it's usually territorial based. So there's either somebody's attacking someone or somebody's not using the litter box, but it's usually some kind of a territorial situation. And I think the one thing that people who have more than one cat, if you're a multiple cat household, you have to really work at it. You have to think positively. You have to think in terms of what you want or what the end result looks like. If you constantly focus on the negative or what is happening in your household that you don't like, you're just fueling that fire. So instead, you have to think in terms of what is the end result that you want look like. Can you picture it in your mind? If you have two cats that are feuding and attacking each other, then you need to picture them living peacefully together, or maybe even they ignore each other. But you have to put different energy into it, because whatever thoughts you have, you're going to project those onto your pets. And so make sure you're fueling the right fire.
That makes sense. Because if you're giving the wrong message, you're just compounding the problem, and it's more emotional, not only for you, but also for the pet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me, is I can pretty much determine that the animals are doing what they are inclined to do based on their species, cat or dog, male or female. I can kind of, you know, understand why they're doing what they're doing. But the human who lives with them needs to really make sure that they are being proactive, that they are only putting out the very best of thoughts about the situation, the best of intention for the situation, and that they're really trying to remedy the situation based on their particular pet. Expecting, this is the biggest mistake, and I think this is something that's really important, and I try to help a lot of people understand this, is that you cannot leave the decision-making up to your pets. I've had a lot of clients say to me, well, they know they're not supposed to fight. Well, they know they're supposed to use the litter box. Well, they know they're not supposed to do this or that or the other, but they do it anyhow. And I tell them, don't leave the decisions up to your pets. You make the decisions, and then you encourage your pets to follow along accordingly, however you need to do that. If you just sit back and expect the animals to work it out, you might get lucky once in a while, but generally speaking, You're not going to like the decision they make.
Wow. That's a good point. Is there any information that you can't obtain during a reading?
Oh, of course. There's lots of things I can't get. You know, just like anything, if I try to get something too hard or if I want something too much, I can actually block myself from getting the information. So I have to go at it in a very kind and loving, and whatever information we get is perfect, and I'm grateful and appreciative. But yeah, if I try too hard, oh boy, yeah, I can't get anything sometimes if I'm trying too hard. And that even goes for my own pets. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, well, you have it so easy, your pets can just tell you what's wrong or what's, you know, going on with them. No, they don't always do that. They don't always tell me. I mean, they're still cats and dogs and horses, and they're doing what they do, and they don't always share with me everything that's going on. I've learned to tune into them and pay attention to the subtle little changes and things over the years, but no, they don't always, like I just, for instance, I just got back from vacation, and one of my dogs, while I was gone, started acting strange. He wouldn't eat. He was hiding in his bed. He wouldn't come out. He wouldn't interact. And I had a friend staying here taking care of the farm for me while I was gone. And I said, well, send me a video. Show me what he's doing. Well, I took one look at that video, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he had a stroke. It just hit me. Like someone just, like, threw it at me, and it hit me. So I felt instantly, oh, he had a stroke. And sure enough, when I got back, took him in, and he had a stroke. So I didn't know up until that point that he was in, you know, leading up to that. I didn't see any signs. There was nothing. He was fine up until the day I left. So, you know, it's not that simple, even for me. I have to still figure things out, and I'm still surprised sometimes by things that my pets do. And, you know, there's still animals trying to cover up and mask their illness and their injuries, because that's what animals do in the wild. They've learned over thousands and thousands of years of evolution to cover up an injury or to not let it be obvious that they're ill or injured. That's just a survival technique. And so they cover it up even for us. They're humans. So I have to watch out for all of those things.
Oh, yeah. So is your dog okay now?
He's doing fine. He is on a baby aspirin twice a day, and you wouldn't think anything happened to him. He's running around, and he's perfectly fine, and you couldn't even tell there was anything wrong. But yeah, he was having a hard time there for a while, so and it was completely out of the blue. I had no idea that there was anything going on. That doesn't make me a bad animal communicator. It doesn't make me a bad mom. It makes him really good at being a dog, because that's what they do. They cover things up. They don't let you know that there's something going on with them.
Oh, bless his heart. Wow. Jeez. So, Karen, what is the most unusual pet that you had? And I think I have asked you, but for the listeners who've never heard from you before, what is the most unusual pet that you communicated with?
Oh, boy. Let me see. There was a hedgehog one time that I communicated with. It was somebody's pet. And the crazy thing about it is when I opened up to the energy, the hedgehog had an accent, like almost like a British accent. I can't say exactly, but there was an accent which just kind of blew me away. And I don't know why. I can't explain it. It just was there. So that was really bizarre. And there was also a client had worked for an animal rescue in the Singapore area, and there were some really exotic animals at this animal rescue, and I checked in with a couple of really rare animal breeds there, and I'm not, so rare I'm not even going to be able to remember what they were, but they're only in that, they're only native to Singapore, they're only native to that area, and so that was probably the most exotic of all. But you know, most of my work, I'm just working with cats and dogs and horses. Those are the three main ones that I connect with.
Wow, cats and dogs and horses. So can I ask you, what, you know, do you think that animals are always with their humans once they cross over? Or, you know, you hear people, oh, your animals are always with you. Do you believe in that? What's your take on that, Karen?
Heck no. They're not always with us. No way. Here's how I see it. When we think about them, when we're missing them, when we're having a moment and we're having a memory of them, it draws them near like a moth to the flame. When you're just out, you know, doing whatever you're doing, going to work or driving down the road or whatever, they can be in more than one place at one time. So they're not restricted like you and I are to being, you know, in one place. They can be in several different places. And their energy can shift. It's very flexible. So they can have a lot of their energy in one place and a little of their energy in one place. And I think they move about that way. They go off and do different things. If they want to go running through the fields and chasing butterflies or whatever they want to do, they can go do that. And then, again, as you start to think about them and have some memories of them, or maybe you're telling someone about them, you pull that energy to you. It's like, almost like a magnet. It gets pulled in. And then you can create this almost like they want, oh, someone's talking about me? Oh, hey, my mom's talking about me. I'm going to go listen. And then they want to come in and hear what you're saying and what you're talking about. They want to be a part of it. So, no, I don't think that they're with us all the time. I think that they're around us a lot. I think that they come and go, and they go do other things. They hang out with other pets. They go out and have a great time. They are certainly not just sitting in the room with us wherever we are, right at our feet. But they can do that if they want to, but I don't think they do that 100% of the time.
Oh, that makes sense. It really does. Wow. And I just want to share this with the listeners, too, that Karen Anderson is also, are you a paranormal investigator, or are you a, correct me if you may, are you a paranormal investigator, or are you a paranormal consultant?
I do paranormal investigations on my personal time, and I'm also part of a group called White Light Paranormal Insight, and we do investigations where if somebody's having paranormal activity in their home, unwanted paranormal activity, they contact us. And if we decide to take on their case, we'll go in and do what's called a resolve, where we'll go in and we'll figure out who's there, if there's spirits there or why the spirits are there. And we'll basically have like a counseling session with the spirits, and we'll help them understand that they don't have to stay there, that they can move on. We'll help them cross over if they want to cross over. But I'm also part of that team. So, yes, I do paranormal investigations, but that's just for me, for fun, in my free time. And then I'm a part of this other group that actually takes on cases.
That's wonderful. So can you tell us a little bit about your book about the secret inner life of pets? What is it about a little bit, and how can people, our listeners, benefit from it?
Well, that's actually Dr. Patricia Carrington's book, and I collaborated with her on her book. So she is a leading psychologist, and she actually, it was very interesting how it came about. She scheduled a session with me right before her elderly cat passed. And she had never had an animal communication session before, and she was so blown away by the messages and by the outcome of the session that she decided to write a book about her experience and also share some techniques from her psychology background to help pet parents with their pets in any circumstance. Like, it's got all kinds of how-to things, chapter after chapter of how you can help your pet, how you can become closer to your pet, what to do when your pet is ill, and it's just full of all kinds of great information. And she collaborated with me on that book to give insight as to what's actually going on in our pets' minds when we are making those types of connections. So it's fantastic. It's on Amazon too, so check it out. It's Dr. Patricia Carrington, and it's called The Secret Inner Life of Pets. It's wonderful, and she's wonderful.
Cool. So what are your basics on animals? Oh, do they just require a little bit of attention and being food? What are their primary key things to help balance or key things to help with a healthy pet?
Say that again. I'm sorry, I missed the first part of what you asked.
I was thinking about what are the key things that you suggest as having a healthy pet besides, you know, feeding good food. What do they require? Do they need, you know, do they need more attention, a little bit of exercise? Do you need socialization? What have you found, or is it different from each animal?
Oh, gosh, every single one is different. You know, if I were to say they need more exercise, there's going to be somebody that says, well, my pet is, you know, full of arthritis and can't do that or whatever. So it really depends on each particular one. And I would say probably the biggest takeaway that I have, just in general, of course, Sherry speaking generally here tonight, I would say the biggest takeaway is we tend to get very lazy when it comes to our pets and their physical activity. I think we expect, many of us, and I'm guilty, we expect our cats to entertain themselves. We expect our dogs to be happy with running around in just the backyard. And I think from what I've learned from the animals is that we need to take it a few steps further than that. We really need to do what's best for that animal. If they're a high-energy pet, you know, make sure that you're giving them a good outlet to be a high-energy pet. If they're a low-energy pet, make sure that you're not leaving the same 42 mousy toys laying around the house for your cat. You know, make it interesting. Make it different. Don't leave the same toys out for your cats. Put them away and bring out something new and interesting and really be kind of proactive about what it would be like if you were stuck in your house 24/7 and you could never leave. You know, how could you make it more interesting for them? Because some of them can't leave. They're there. That's all they have is your house, your home. That's it. So we get to leave. We get to go to work. We get to go to school. We get to go to the store. We get to go socialize. We get to go do things. They're stuck there. So try to do your best to keep things interesting, to keep introducing new things to them. Cats especially, you know, they lose interest in something in like 10 seconds. They're already bored with it. So I try to never leave the same things out all the time, and you can rotate a special toy in and just use that one special toy for playtime. Get them cat posts and cat trees and give them a place to climb and scratch and all of that. I think it just really depends on each pet. But try to be proactive. Don't expect your pets to entertain themselves because they really get bored.
Yes, and it's terrible when you hear, you know, see people, and I know this personally, where they have a pet but they're not hardly home. They're always gone. You know, they're always busy themselves, so they expect to, like you said, they expect them to go and entertain themselves. And you end up, and this is just me, I think that, you know, the the cat is becomes emotionally and mentally unbalanced because it doesn't get the nurturing and the affection and things like that. I mean, even half an hour, that's better than nothing. But, you know, when a person's always gone taking trips or always busy, you know, how can you really have a balance with that animal?
Well, absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's something that I'm guilty. I've done it in the past, but I try to be better. I try to be more proactive. I really have made some changes and try to benefit my animals as best that I can. And, you know, a lot of people will say to me, well, I have a big backyard, so my dog can go out there and play in the yard. It's not the same as taking your dog out and introducing them to new sights, new smells, new sounds, new people, new adventures, new places. It's not the same. It's for them, think of it, it's the same soup, different bowl every day. Every day.
It's true. And, very much so. Wow, that's amazing. And I know you, in your field too, you take, you help with those with lost pets. So it's amazing with all the things that you do with the animals.
Well, I've actually curtailed my lost pet sessions right now, Sherry, just because I've been so busy with the book and the book promotion and a bunch of other things too, because I put together an online course for those who want to learn how to communicate with their pets, and I'm creating the follow-up courses. I've got a beginner's course available right now, and I'm working on the intermediate and the advanced course. So I'm actually not taking on lost pet cases right now, but for those who are listening, I have a free lost pet guide that you can get just by subscribing on my website. Just plug in your email address and you will get a lost pet guide along with a free animal communication guide that covers a lot of what we talked about tonight. But for anyone who's interested in learning, it's a great resource to have.
That's wonderful. Hey, Karen, is there anything else and how people can get a hold of you or, you know, read, what's your website? How can people get a hold of you if they're interested in getting more, you know, more information about you or scheduling a session with you?
Well, absolutely. They can find me on my website, which is very simply KarenAnderson.net. And there's nothing fancy about the spelling. It's just KarenAnderson.net. Also, my book is on Amazon, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals. And my first book is out there, too, Hear All Creatures. They're both bestsellers on Amazon. And the animal communication course that you can take, it's a self-paced online. You can find out about that on my website as well at KarenAnderson.net. And I'm on Facebook. I'm a friend of yours, Sherry, so if they find you, they can find me.
That's wonderful. I really appreciate your time and just being there and just sharing your expertise and just, you know, really helping, trying to help people understand about what you do and a little bit about animals, and it's a really good balance. So I just really am grateful that you just really spent some time to come out and just being able to spend a good hour with us.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and as always, it's a pleasure to be on the show, and thank you to all your listeners and to everyone who tuned in, and you have a great rest of your night, and maybe next time Jason can get on the line with us.
Hopefully. Maybe next time. I will have to work on him, and we'll have to figure out what's going on with his computer issues, but definitely. But thank you, Karen, and we just want to thank you again for your time, and hopefully we'll talk to you. We're going to have you back.
Awesome. I'd love to. All right, you have a good night.
You take care. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Wow, that's great. Hey, folks. She's a wonderful guest, and just would like to have you check her out. She's really a good, really good soul. She's very down to earth, as you can tell, and she's just a wonderful friend also, too. And Anyway, next week we're going to have a round table. I'm excited to have that. It's our very first girls round table. We're going to be featuring the first person I'm going to say is Cindy Bailey Dove. We've got some beautiful, bright, talented women, strong and very powerful, dynamic women that have put together. They're experts in their own rights of expertise and want to share. We're going to go for an hour and a half next week. Cindy Bailey Dove is very well known in the drone reports. Her expertise in drones, military drones, and what's going on with the government, she's going to share with that. Any new developments, anything about privacy, as well as anything going on with conspiracy theories. So we're going to have Cindy Bailey Dove back and also Maria Wilson Dove. Maria Wilson Dove is a beautiful and talented paranormal investigator. She is actually certified with MUFON, taking cases if she'd like. And we're going to have her share her expertise in paranormal investigations and MUFON cases. So we're going to have her back. And Nikki Groom, we're going to have her on, and she's an experiencer. She is actually an abductee, and her boyfriend is an abductee, and we're going to have her on the show, and she's going to share what it's like to be an abductee and also being with one. Her boyfriend is the very well-known Eric Mitchell. So I'm excited to have her, and I've got myself, who, as you know, I'm a psychic medium, and I'm also in Chinese medicine. I'm licensed in medical Qigong therapy and as a medical Qigong and medical intuitive. So all four of us are going to be going on a round table. So it's going to be quite informative, a lot of laughter, a lot of information. I hope you tune in next week on our round table. So anyway, just want to get, I'm really sorry that Jason's not here tonight, but, you know, it is what it is, and hopefully next week we'll be able to pull it off. And, hey, everybody, thank you so much for just listening and just really supporting us. We really appreciate you guys and, you know, just following us on Facebook and just want to be there for you guys. So if you have any questions, you can always go and contact us through Facebook and message us. Hey, take care, everybody. Love you guys. Thank you for all your support. Peace.